Happy Friday. George Watkins here. So good to see you again. Thank you for stopping by on this last day of the week. Got a good word for you. Send you into your glorious weekend together. Amen. Well, grab your coffee. Let's have a little moment of time with God's word and the presence of the Lord. Now, remember, when we meet together, wherever we're meeting, Scripture says that he meets with us. Well, that scripture was written before the internet. Do you think God saw that when he wrote that scripture? Oh, of course he did. There's no distance with us when we're meeting together in faith and in our spirits. Amen. Well, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? He was disciplining and making some judgments about a sin that had been going on in the church. And so he told the church, when you meet together and my spirit meets with you, no distance. And they did that. And the 2 Corinthians comes along and says, now that we have seen the discipline of the Lord on this man, bring him back in, lest he become discouraged. There's your forgiveness. All right, well, we're going to talk today about dreams or dreaming with me. Not so much dreams in the sense of what did I dream last night, but I want to take that phrase, dream with me, and the tagline is, the possibilities of tomorrow. The scripture talks about old men and young men, visions and dreams. One has a dream and the other has a vision. The vision indicates that you see something ahead of you. The dream, in some thoughts, in some, interpretation or thinking, says that, well, you're dreaming about what you did in the past or what you accomplished. But I'm not going that way today. I want you to dream a dream with me. I want you to have a picture of the future. I want you to see yourself and your circumstances as God sees them. Now, scripturally, we've got some wonderful backup support for the principle of dreaming and seeing and imagining. Now, when we say imagine this, we understand that imagine means I'm seeing or hearing or thinking something that I haven't seen before, perhaps. I'm imagining. Or the little boy comes in and mom says, Johnny, you're just imagining that. Well, of course he did. He was playing in the backyard or in the bedroom, and he didn't have any cousins with him. They were all gone, you know, in other states. So now he's playing alone, but he's got his imaginary friends. Well, in his mind and in his thinking, he's not alone now. Why? Because the imagination can bring in substance greater than we have any understanding of. Look at Genesis 11:6. This is the repetitive story that we talk about often about the Tower of Babel and how that they were building a tower to worship in. I always thought they were trying to build it high enough to get to God, and we always laughed at that because we knew they couldn't do that. Astronomically, at least. Well, they weren't. They were building a worship tower where they could communicate with the spirits. Now, God said, we've got to come down and disrupt this because, and here's the tagline, whatever they imagine they can do. Think about that for a bit. Somewhere in the DNA of the human makeup, God put within that the calibrations of our makeup that if we could imagine it, we could do it. You get a gang of people together with an evil purpose, God doesn't like that. You get a gang of people with a proper purpose, and we can overcome, and we can perform, and we can create, and we can build. I love the story of Letourneau, who invented all these earth-moving machines back in the 40s and 50s that have built our highways and carried huge amounts of dirt here and there. He went to a Wednesday night missionary service at the church. And when he got home, he said, "Oh God, I want to give to missions. What can I do?" In the night, he had a vision or a dream, a night vision, as we call it. And in that night vision, he had this diagram, a structure come to him. He woke in the morning, drew it out, took it to the people that, you know, engineers, and they said, "Well, this is impossible. This is structurally impossible." But he said, "Go ahead and do it anyway." They built the great road machine, and of course, history has proven that he was a giant in his field, and he gave 90% of his income. It was $400 million. Now, that's not a lot of money in today's money, but in the 40s and 50s, that's a lot of money. Okay. Now, I say that to stimulate your and to whet your appetite, to let your dreams, the dreams of what you have in your heart, and the desires that God has put in there, I want them to magnify, multiply, and increase. You're not just wasting time when you're meditating. That's a form of dreaming while you're awake. I had an associate years ago, one of the early partners that I had in the building of our church, or the, you know, putting together of the plan God had for us. And I came by his office. We rented a little house with some, and one of the bedrooms turned into an office. And he had his feet up on his desk. He wasn't doing anything. I said, "Hey, what are you doing in there?" He says, "I'm thinking." Well, obviously, I think, but I was struck with the posture of that man. And he came up with some of the greatest ideas. He helped us get through and plan some of our foundational process. He put together teachings and Bible school curriculum, because at some point he would lay back, put his feet up on the desk, and think. Now, that's a form of imagining and dreaming. When you let the God inside of you begin to germinate thought process, and you begin to imagine or dream. So dream a dream with me, for the possibilities of tomorrow are beyond, well, imagination. No, they're not. They're beyond our minds that need to have an expansion of God's imagination. Amen. Now, Philippians 4:8. I love Philippians 4:8 out of the Amplified. I'm going to take a moment here just to open it up a bit. "For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemingly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind." Oh, my goodness. What a perimeter of good things we see here. All the way around, on the edge of everything, we see lovely, wonderful, kind. Now, this is God's world that we live in. We don't live in the world that Hollywood creates, where everything's dark and ugly and the future is filled with tornadoes, floods, ice age, atomic weapons, and alien attacks. All those are in the future of the man or woman without a God dream. without a God imagination. Now, this is what we're to do. We're to think on these things. He said in the ninth verse, practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Now, I'm thinking when I read that about Romans 10, 9 and 10. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word that we have preached. So here Paul again in the book of Philippians, he says, I want you, whatever you have heard or seen in me, I want you to meditate. I want you to practice thinking on these things. Okay. What are you doing with your thinking and with your mind on this Friday? Oh, by the way, have I said this is Friday, my favorite day of the week? Yeah, you would miss that if I didn't say it. Okay. What are you doing with your thinking on this Friday? Are you reserving it for doubt, fear, anxiety, imagining what would happen when they repossessed the house and where you would live and how you would pay the bills if you lost your job and, well, if I get sick, am I going to die quick? Are you imagining that? Or are you imagining and thinking about the promotion that God gives you on the job, the fact that your health is improving, the relationships that have been rocky are becoming smooth and healed again, or the ministry that you're desiring and you've been praying about is unfolding? Have you dreamed about that? Have you found a place to sit down, close your eyes, and just think about that position you desire? You say, well, isn't that manipulation? I'm manipulating something. What's in the mind of God anyway? We talk about wanting the mind of Christ. Scripture says we're to have the mind of Christ. What's in the mind of God? Have you ever searched that out to see what he's thinking about you? Well, of course you have. And if you haven't, I'll remind you. He tells us that he has plans for us, doesn't he? And those plans are for destruction and death. No, no, of course not. They're for peace, long life, and prosperity. And prosperity means success in your journey, not just money in the pocket. That's part of the success at times, obviously, but prosperity means that the target that you're going for, you will hit. Ministry, family, romance, health, all those things that we target and we want to hit. Okay, so we are to practice what we have heard. Practice what we have heard. I've been talking about faith being a muscle. So whatever you give yourself to will become stronger. If you give yourself to fear and worry, you'll have a strong muscle. You'll go there quickly. If you practice meditating upon these things out of Philippians 4:8, the things that are pure and honest and trustworthy. And Paul goes on to say, the things we have spoken to you and the things you have seen in me. So someone in your life can be a mentor. The word of God is, we know that. Prayer, as we talked about yesterday, and meditation and time in the presence of the Lord is certainly that same release where you begin to see the things in God and the things that God has. Now, Jesus said in John 5:19 that whatever he saw the Father do, he could do, and he did. Here's a principle of life, that if you see something, you can do it. If you see someone else do something, you can do it. This is why testimonies are so wonderfully important in the house of God and in your life and things you read. Someone gets healed of a disease that you have, or someone has a son or a daughter that's come back to God and they've testified and you need to have that happen. Or someone had a ministry success and you desire that same ministry. And so somehow you see it in someone else and you have the faith now to believe it can happen in you. That's that imagination or the dream. Dream with me. There's great possibilities for tomorrow. Oh, my friend, I tell you, your hand is on the control stick. You have the throttle in your hand, and it's in the mind that God has given you, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, not the natural mind that is trying to bring you into your former boxes and fears and failures, remembering all the bad things. The mind of Christ is that I have a plan for you. It's a plan for success. I have a plan to give you a peace. I have a plan to give you a place of safety. That's God's mind. He said, I would that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said that he came to give you life and that more abundantly. Matthew 4 said, when there were people sitting in darkness and they saw a great light come. Now that's the gospel, the light of the gospel. Hallelujah. So, dream with me this weekend. Let's see the possibilities of God unfold. That's something. So many wonderful things that God has planned for us. Well, we will see you Sunday night at 6 p.m. and then all day, all morning next week again. Thank you for your faithful support in prayer that you pray for us. Many of you tell me that, so I believe many of you do that I don't know are praying, but thank you for it. Also, thank you for the encouraging comments you send. They really are a blessing. I tune them up and read them and rejoice that God's speaking to several that report back. And give me a share it with someone, or all those things help on the strength of the broadcast going out. And if you haven't subscribed, you're invited to do so, because then you'll have a reminder when we come back on. And those that have given a financial gift, God bless you. Thank you for that. If God's nudging you to do that, we receive it with God's blessing back to you in Jesus' name. Until Sunday night, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the countenance that is produced by his love in your heart show through your faith, face and faith every day. God bless.